This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Joe Bevilacqua and New Chapel in Grand Rapids, Michigan. For more information, please visit newchapel.com.
My name is Joe Bevilacqua. I'm the lead pastor here, and two-part series that we're starting today called Why We Gather. And I'm really pumped about this one. This is going to be cool. This is a great one to kind of follow up Easter time and really explain what are we doing here today. And it's an appropriate series because we are in a season as a church where there's some exciting things going on. I mean, we've got this building that's coming up and details are unfolding every day. And at the same time, I mean, our curriculum back in kids has gone to the next level. We've opened up another classroom. Things are beginning to happen at New Chapel that are really exciting to see. But it kind of begs the question, and I just kind of want to ask it, why are we here? I want you to kind of chew on that one. Think about, why are we here? I mean, today, you got your cup of coffee, you rushed in, you're sitting down, I'm sure you're wondering, what are you doing here? This last week, I moved out of our house, and we're getting ready to build, and it's an exciting time for us as a family, too. I just wanted a little bit of change this year, so we're going to be building a house, building a church, and having a kid in June, and all that's going to be happening at about the same time, so just keeping it real, and so we're moving this last week and getting everything out of the house, and Pastor Kobe brought the trailer over, and we're loading up that trailer. I'm telling you, man, you want to get me focused on anything, just tell me exactly what the objective is, go, okay, and I'm running, man. I'm power walking everywhere that I'm going, and I'm helping Pastor Kobe load up, and I'm, you know, getting back to the house. I get into the house, and I get into the living room. Have you ever had that where you have no idea why you came in the living room? Anybody else just want to be honest in the church? Yeah. Shame the devil and tell the truth. I'm just standing there. And Kaya comes in. She looks over at the TV. The TV's off. And she says, Joe, you know the TV's off, right? You're not helping. You're not helping. So I rush back out to Pastor Kobe to see if he could help me to kind of remember what was going on. I kind of forgot what I had forgotten again. And so I was like, 30 fabulous, you know, and so we continue. But have you ever had anything like that where it's just like total airy moment? What am I even doing? You know, I've done that going into stores before. Like you get in there, like, I have no idea why I drove here. I drove here. I have no idea. And so I think it's that way with some of us. What happens is you get up, oh my gosh, it's late, and you go grab your kids, and you're like, she needs a bath because she looks horrid. You're fine. Throw something on him. And you're washing her hair, and you throw him in some clothes, and where's the car seat? I don't know where the base is. She'll be fine. Just buckle the seat in, you know, and you throw that in, and you show up, and you can hear the music of worship going as you pull up, and you kind of look at your spouse like, you did this. You know, and you come in and you want the coffee, but you got to check in your kids. So you check in your kids, you get your coffee. It's like second song. You're like going past people to get in. Time for the message. You sit down. And I think we have that same feeling sometimes. If we'd be honest, what am I doing here? Why did I go through all of that to be here in this moment? That happens often with our church experience. And if I was an outsider, if I was a skeptic, I would look at that whole narrative and other things, and I would say, really? Like, why would you ever do that? And maybe there was a time where that was necessary for your group. But now, just film the pastor speaking and email them a Vimeo link and they can watch it. And if we need to worship, just send everybody, you know, Hillsong Young and Free's new CD and they can worship. And if their kids really need education, you know, turn on the clicker, watch something on TV that's educational. It's on the same level, right? If church is a product, if it's something you do, if it's something like going to Planet Fitness, buy the elliptical for your home. Why go through all the trouble of getting a building? Why go through all the expense of hiring staff? Why do that? Why? And I really believe that the church is more than that. I think the church has more depth than that. I really do. I don't think it's just about hearing a message. And I know the pastor here, he's a theologian. But it's not all about hearing a message. It's not all just about worship. It's not just about prayer. I think every one of those things is an essential component to what we're talking about. But if you start to look on how to problem solve individual little things like that, you're going to miss the forest for the trees. And that's really unfortunate because I really believe that no online experience, no television program, no audio series can supplement what God wants to do in this place. And in a place of community and transformation and power and the presence of God, when we gather together, it's like nothing else on earth. This is something special. This is something sacred. And still, while that is the case, have you noticed that our society has trended more and more towards isolation? Have you seen that? Maybe you saw it last week at Easter dinner. You saw everybody on their iPhone. And you just about wanted to take that thing and put that thing in the oven. Get off your phone. My family knows I wig out if somebody's on their phone. I've grabbed it from them. Travis is too fast for me, but Michael, I've broken at least 5 of his screens trying to grab that phone from him. Get off your phone when you're around me. I want to spend time with you. I want to look in your eyes. I sound like a Dago when I'm saying, hey, what's the matter with you? You know, like, give me your phone. And we fight for it. Why? Because everybody wants to go into their own little world because Clash of Clans is so important. And I'm texting my friend about what we're going to do for lunch. When I'm at lunch with him, I'm going to be texting my other friend about what movie we're going to see. Like, we isolate to the point where it's like, what are we even doing? And as technology and society and just as culture progresses, we're isolating. Kind of like to watch HGTV. Anybody else here? I feel like I'm getting something done. You know, like I just, when I'm watching it, I feel like, yeah. Like I can go to sleep and be like, check, you know? But if you notice on those things, what's the popular thing? Every bedroom has its own bathroom and a walk-in closet. It's got all the fixings so you can have a TV. We don't even need to see each other. I mean, seriously, that's the direction that we're going. I grew up in an old house. We had one bathroom. That was a pain in the neck. But I'll tell you this, there's a lot of fun times playing in the bath. There's fun times. Hey, what are you doing in there? You know, hey, what's the matter with you? You know, from my family's vernacular. And so I'm not saying if you have two bathrooms, close it off, and that's gospel. That's, believe me, no. I mean, that's a wonderful thing for you to have two bathrooms. But don't isolate yourself in your room. Don't go off into your own spot. Center yourself on your phone and your TV and think that you're living life. You're in an illusion. You're missing the weightier things of our existence. Amen, somebody? That's just good right there. Christians, good people, supplement gathering as a church with other good things. I mean, they'll watch Joel Osteen on Sunday. I love Joel. He's awesome. He looks like a real sweetheart, you know? I mean, he's smiling all the time. That's great. You know, I think we're on the opposite end of the spectrum. I want to punch you until you're right with God. You know, he wants to smile at you until you're right with God. Just different strokes, you know, whatever. But it's a good thing. It's a good show. It doesn't make up for this gathering. Maybe it's the concert experience, right? And we go to that one concert a year, and it's like the worship experience of your life. And that, again, is a good thing. And then you think, hey, check, I'm good for 6 months. See you at Easter, you know? And it's like you're missing the great part of gathering. And it may be convenient, and it might be very private. But I'm here to tell you it's consumer Christianity, and it's all directed to isolate you. I don't have time to preach a whole message on how the enemy wants to isolate you, wants to pick you off, make you completely alone, because then you're easy picking, you're easy prey. There's a reason why we do this. The Bible says it this way. Paul wrote this in Hebrews. And if you don't believe that Paul wrote Hebrews, I'll show you that ministry I was talking about in the back. But Hebrews 10 says this, let us not neglect our meeting together. Some people do it. Encourage one another, though, especially now the day of his return is drawing near. In the King James Version, it says, let us not neglect our gathering together. This thought of us gathering is this foundational principle. It's a Bible thing. It's a cornerstone of the Christian walk with God. And I believe the closer that we get to the day, and maybe your Bible has that capitalized, capital T, capital D, the day when Jesus comes back, maybe you feel more and more all of the reasons to not gather. I think they're going to be there, but I think we need to press in. We can't give up this gathering. In fact, if we need to do anything, we need to gather more. We need to sink into small groups. We need to sink in to Sunday morning, weekend celebrations. That needs to be the order of the day. So here's what I want to do. I have four thoughts I want to convey to you today. I had this like 3.5 hour sermon and Kaya said no. So what I'm going to do is I've got some spillover and I'm going to give you some really good meat next week as well. It's going to be a fun 2-week series. I'll get you out of here in the next 30 minutes or so. So number one, write it down, four thoughts about this. We gather in community as God's people. You know, Jesus did not predict a place or a message or a style of worship. That was not his prediction. He predicted a people. We should not be known by the place that we worship. We should be known for the people that we worship with. It's a relational thing. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew 5, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there you just remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother. And then come and offer your gift. That tells me that we should be known not so much for the ritual of our worship, but for the relationship around our worship. This gathering is so key. It's so important. It's central to Jesus' heart. This relational gospel would be the true essence of the church. I knew a pastor. I was working for him. He was the lead youth pastor, and I was one of the associate youth pastors, and it was a big church. And we were sitting at the front row. They had this big conference every year called Word Explosion, and the prince of preachers was preaching that night, Jensen Franklin. And I tell you what, Jensen Franklin will preach you so hard, you'll be in the corner sucking your thumb by the end of the night. I mean, he can preach. And we were all excited. And I schemed the whole week, just a schemey. John, you got to get me a seat. John, you got to get me a seat. Pastor John, you got to get me a seat. Because he always sat in the front row, so he got me a seat. And I was in the front row. And he had had a little tiff with his wife before he left. She was pregnant and exhausted from the day, and I think tempers flared for a little bit. He told me about it, and being the deep Christian that I was, as soon as worship started, I said, talk to you later. And I started worshiping God because I didn't want to be found with my hands down when the prince walks out. You know what I'm talking about? So I'm worshiping God, and he says, hey, I got to go. I got to take care of this. He left a pretty important night where he needed to be there to go reconcile things with his wife. And that has been a guiding principle for me in my marriage, to realize that you can't miss the forest through the trees. You have to focus on the relational aspect. If you miss that, you've missed everything. Say amen, somebody. Number two, write it down. When Christians gather, church happens. When we gather, when we all come together. The word church is not found in the Old Testament. It's not in there. In the New Testament, it's found, but church is something that existed, we know, historically, for hundreds of years before Jesus Christ. In Matthew 16, though, we read the first mention of Jesus' church. Matthew 16, I'm going to read it. If you have your Bibles, you should turn there. But Matthew 16, I'm going to read verse 13 and then jump to 16 through 18. So what the Bible says, Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they kind of pined back and forth about who he was. Verse 16, Simon Peter pipes up and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You didn't come up with this answer. This is revelation. God revealed this to you. Verse 18, and I also say that you are Peter. He renames him in that moment. New identity. When we're talking about the church, the entryway into this thing, new identity. He says, on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell, Hades, shall not prevail against it. Now, just to let you know, when he said, on this rock, I will build my church, he wasn't talking about Peter being the rock of the church. Jesus would never put it on somebody who was going to die in a couple decades. I mean, obviously, it's futile. He's not around to lead us anymore. What was the rock then? Well, the rock is the truth, the revelation, the revealed fact that Jesus Christ is the Christ. He's the Son of the living God. Then he renames him. He calls him Peter. In the Greek, that's Petros. No translation anywhere translates that as rock. It literally means small stone, pebble, little rock, chip off the old block. And if you're a fan of certain 70s movies, Rocky. That's what you could call Peter. And so he's saying, hey, listen, there's this great revelation that I'm going to make the foundation of the church. I'm going to be the head of this thing. I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God. And listen, I want to tell you something about you. You're a piece of this thing. You're a component. You're a piece of the rock. You're a chip off the old block, and we're going to do incredible things together. We might think of the word church as a building or a denomination, but church was a thing. It existed hundreds of years, like I said, before that time. And when he said, I'm going to build my church, they knew immediately, oh, he's talking about something. This is new. We don't have church right now. We have temple. We have the rabbi-disciple system. Jesus, the Son of the living God, is going to start something. He's going to start his own church. The original church planner, that's a cool fraternity to be a part of, is Jesus Christ. Now, this word church was common. It's the Greek word ecclesia. Ecclesia. Ecclesia means those who are called and separated to a prestigious assembly. In Jesus' day, churches could be a secular thing. They could be a religious thing. They could be a church about a certain interest. There was a lot of governmental and civic churches. And when I say churches, let me just use another word for it, gathering. There was an organized gathering for government. There was an organized gathering over here for workers. There was all these organized gatherings, and it was just another word. And he's translated later, way later, into the word church. But the word ecclesia, assembly, gathering, far predates the time of Christ. And in fact, in Athens, Greece, there was actually the foundation of where they created this word ecclesia. It was almost a governmental thing, but not quite, where they would, as citizens, gather together, and the people who were true citizens, the people who were partners, they would make a contribution. They were the people who determined laws and debated things and helped people out, and there was discussion and forum, and this church would come together and discuss things. Ecclesia is translated as community, assembly, congregation, church, and gathering. I put together kind of a definition. This is going to be a little bit wordy. You might want to get your cell phone out and kind of click a picture of this one. A Christian church, the Greek word ecclesia, is an organized assembly of believers gathered for God's purpose and mission. It's an autonomous body of believers under a defined authority structure led by elders under God. Everybody needs to take a big breath of air. That's huge. You want me to write that down? No, click a picture of that thing. But here's what I'm going to do. The most important thing isn't that you memorize that. That's a pretty long blip. My note takers are in heaven right now. The most important thing is over the next 2 weeks that you understand it, that you have a grasp on this gathering, what this really looks like. So Jesus says in this passage in Matthew, I'm going to build my church. He's conveying in common vocabulary a word that everyone knows. And he's going past the limits of the temple, and he's creating this orderly and structured, organized assembly that runs somewhat like a business. That they all knew the context of what he was saying in the moment. They understood it. He gave them a word that they could hold on to. This ecclesia thing is structured. Without structure, things are chaotic. And Jesus uses that word to describe his heart for the generations after he was going to die. That this church gathering, this assembly was going to happen, and it's going to be phenomenal. The word was so common, they knew exactly what he was saying. He wasn't describing some loose-knit thing. He's describing this tight, knit, building a tight knit group of people with real organization so that they can make a real difference in their world. And that's the heart of this thing. The heart is that we would take ground. And to do that, the vehicle that God chose was a church, was this organized gathering. Wow. And I know you've heard people, maybe you snuck in here today and you'd say, I don't like organized religion. I get more relationship with God when I take a walk in the woods. The lake is my church. I've just lost hope in the church altogether. It's kind of like saying this: I don't like spicy hot sauce. I don't believe in dirty pigs or mean cats. And I don't like wet lakes. To say the word church, you're literally saying an organized gathering. So write it down, number three. If it's not organized, it's not church. If it's not organized, if there's not structure to this thing, if there's not a leader, if there's not the elder over that house, I'm telling you, you ain't having church. You can feel close to God, and feelings can be great indicators and poor leaders. People feel crazy things sometimes. I'm here to tell you the truth of the matter is you need relationship. You need community. You need someone in your life who can help lead you through hard times. And I get it, guys. Bad things happen. I was a victim of church abuse. I was taken advantage of. My name was run through the mud by people in authority. But you know what I realize? That man, that pastor may have done that to me, but Jesus Christ never did that to me. And Jesus Christ called me into this place, and I'm going to stay faithful to him, because though that guy may have given up on me, Jesus Christ never gave up on me, and I'm sure never going to give up on him. Say amen, somebody. I am not diminishing for a second what you went through. But we cannot, we can't, guys, we won't let our experiences, our negative situations, the stuff that we've gone through, and even your beliefs about the matter. Your beliefs don't trump the Word of God. What we have to do is hold on to what Jesus said. And we have to realize the reason why we gather, why we assemble. The people who are assembling is Bedside Baptist or Pillow Presbyterian or Church of the Mattress or Couch Christians, the First Assembly of the Boob Tube. I've got bags of these guys. Keep egging me on. They're missing out. They're missing out. Truth of the matter is we're missing out on them too. We need them. They have a gift on their life that we need in this place. And the people that really don't like organized church, like they've made the decision not to like it, they float around from group to group. They want to take what they want. They want to hear what they want to hear. The only community that they want is all the people that agree with everything that they say. And they especially don't want anyone to tell them what to do. They want no authority in their life. They don't want anyone to tell them no. Let me just tell you something. You need someone to tell you no. You need somebody to get in your grill and tell you you're crazy. Why are you acting crazy? You need somebody to do that for you. I have those people in my life. I'm smart. They don't attend this church. But I have authority in my life that I answer to, talk to them 3-4 times a week. And those are the people in my life that can say, Joe, too soon, not the right way. Think you're out of line there. No. That's the healthiest thing anyone could ever have is godly authority. Someone who really loves you. They got nothing to gain by manipulating you. They just really love you. They want to see you through. Say amen, somebody. Number four, I got to move on. Your life and the life of your family will flourish when there's a real dedication to the local church. It's how we're designed to be as the people of God. It says it in Psalm 92:13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Ooh, I love that scripture. I love that. That means I don't have to know everything about the Bible. I could just show up. I don't know what you want me to do. Tell me what you want me to do. I want to serve, I'll serve, whatever. I don't know all the Bible, but I got to flourish. I got to go to the next level in my life. And God said he's going to honor it when I show up. I don't know everything, but I'm in. You know what I'm talking about? That's the heart of this God that says, listen, wherever you are, wherever you came from, you're in. You're in. You made the team. Jump in. Both feet. Let's have church together. Let's gather together. Now, that's one of the reasons why we offer partnership at New Chapel. New Chapel does not offer church membership. And I think that's awesome. Let me tell you why. When you accept Jesus Christ, you are a member of God's family. That's the church global. Those are the people who are in the underground in China who worshiped earlier today. Those are the people who are all around the United States, abroad, traveling. They're in planes right now. I mean, these are the Christians. In fact, there's an interesting statistic that I learned that, man, you just, two things you don't hear about on the news. Number one is the martyrdom and the incredible persecution worldwide of Christians. There's never been more martyrs in Christendom than there is right now. More this year, last year, more now per year than ever before in history. You don't hear about that. Number two thing that you don't hear about is the revival that's breaking out. You don't hear about it, but it's happening. There's an undercurrent right now, and things are getting ready to pop. You don't hear about it, but we see little pockets of this begin to explode. A lot of it started overseas. We were the instigators of the last great awakening, and now it's actually a lot's going on. Watch the country of Nigeria. There's a revival going through there. There's presidential, whatever their government structure is, but I think they have a prime minister or president who got born again, radically born again, filled with the Spirit of God. The government has been opened up to Christianity, and there is revival in churches where there is hundreds of thousands of people attending on a weekend. It started there, but pockets along the United States are breaking out of people that are hungry for God because their iPhone just don't cut it anymore. We got it. We need Jesus. It's not enough to insulate ourselves from the world. Isn't that the reason why we left that tired, cold church, the frozen, chosen, us for no more? Drive a Mack truck through there, not hit anybody. Musky smell when you walked in. How did a moth get in my pocket? You know, I mean, like, you're not here because the music's good. You're not here because the pastor's so incredibly handsome, and he is, and humble. There's something far greater to this message. And when we realize that we're a member of the church global, but that's where our membership is, what we need to do is find a household, a local family, and become planted there, partner our lives there. Pastor said something that made me mad. Did your dad ever say anything that made you mad? Still love him? Cool. Get a life. I've been waiting to preach that. Build a bridge and get over it. You will never find a church where you believe everything that the pastor believes. Ain't gonna happen. He ain't gonna show up at your house all the time. What you need to do is let Jesus Christ choose where your church is gonna be, not even go off in preference or even what you like, and then become planted. And when you dig in roots to that place, the Bible says that you will begin to flourish. It starts in here. And then it begins to come to the outside. That resolve and that peace that you experience for the first time when you're in the house of God, learning from what God has for you, begins to expand to your family. The Bible says that he who troubles his home will inherit the wind. I have a parent that troubled her home. And she inherited the wind. When you get planted in the church, you don't know when you're going to come and hear a message from a man of God that is going to change your life. How do you put a price on that? And you realize, man, I got to make some changes. And that resolve that feels good all of a sudden comes to the outside. And it's like, listen, I need to learn to be peaceful. I need to learn to make peace. Peace must be made. Blessed are the peacemakers. I'm going to be a peacemaker. And what happens is you begin to flourish in your marriage, flourish with your kids. All of a sudden, when your kid's 20, 30 years old, you ain't going to inherit the wind. Your kids are going to love to be around you. Why? You learn to flourish. Now, I feel in my heart right now that there's some people in the room that what happened is you didn't get this message until later in life. You started just living like a normal person. And we all know that normal doesn't cut it. you feel, and I don't know your whole situation, but I know enough, you feel like it's too late. It's never too late. I heard a story about a great man, a leader of his home, but he wasn't a great man when the story started. He gave his life to Christ, went to his teenage kids, and said, "I apologize. I raved, threw things, scared your mother. I did things that were unspeakable. I asked that you'd forgive me." Tears were rolling down his face. Hugged his boys, hugged his family. They have actually a little bit more credit for their dad now as adults than some of these teenage PKs and church kids that grew up taking it all for granted. I'm going to tell you something. It's not too late. You live for Jesus. You submit your life to Him. The next time He asks you to do something, just make sure that that yes is ready to go. Yes, yes, yes. And what you'll see is your family flourish. Now, that wasn't in my notes, but somebody needed that. It's never too late. It's never too late to see the glory of God. Amen, somebody? And so I know a story about somebody, and they were living a good life. They put up a Christmas tree, and they hid Easter eggs, but it was kind of a secular home. They believed in God. And what happened was a discussion came up, and their little girl heard the name of God. And the little girl pipes up and says, "Who's God?" Oh, mom's heart sank. It was just around that time that she got a mailer from New Chapel. And she told everybody, "That's where we're going." And so she brought everybody, and they came to church. You know what happened? Whole family found a real dynamic, life-giving relationship with God. That whole family heard the God is good. And then listen, they knew that God was right. They knew that Jesus was a real figure, died on the cross. Maybe all of that was true, but they didn't know that God was good. When they came in here and saw the passion that you guys had when you were worshiping, and when they heard the message and heard that God was good, that their hearts changed. And so now their kids are thriving back in New Kids. They know who God is today. The whole family's been baptized. Whole family's plugged into ministry. They pray together. Their life is flourishing. It's one of the great success stories of my ministry to sit by and watch the Lord take them from step to step, glory to glory, is how the Bible says it, and be able to see firsthand how somebody can come into this place and know God. Oh, I think of somebody who I know, and I haven't asked their permission to tell the story, so I'll tell it anyway, but not tell their name. Anyway, they came to New Chapel shortly after they had lost a parent. And they were truly depressed. And they came in and sat. And listen, we're good at relationship here at New Chapel. If you haven't found that thing, it may be because you didn't smile back. But I'm here to tell you, like, we love people. We want to learn your name. And so this person found relationship. And I would even talk to some leaders. And they say, "Hey, I'm going to get her an application to serve." I said, "You know what? Just with her, I'd like you to hold back. Just give her some time." During our first class of New Chapel Connect, I tell everyone that we believe that you should be a contributor. You should plug in. You should serve. But I always dreamed of having a church where certain people could come from maybe a divorce or a loss of a loved one, or maybe they're just really down, depressed, life's gotten the better of them, and I want them to be able to come into this place and just consume, just hear, just receive. You know why? As a shepherd, I know something. What'll happen is the healing will happen, and then they'll plug in. You won't wear them out that way. And so that very thing happened with this person, and she plugged in, and she's been serving for about a month and a half now. You know what the amazing thing is? She found the relief that she was looking for. It was us that helped her, but it was God. It was this interaction. Was it messages? Yeah, there was a little bit of messages in there. It was the whole thing. Was it prayer? Yeah, there was prayer involved there. And now you're looking at someone whose life is flourishing, who found freedom in this place. I know of a good friend of mine, and I'm going to say their name because I just don't care. It's Olivia Fitzpatrick. Her family came here from California, which is an awful place. It's just gloomy all the time, I hear. And so they came here and they were searching for a life-giving church. They found New Chapel. They came into this place. Here's what happened. Before long, we recruited her. She was doing video Scott's all but building our next church. I mean, like, they're in. They're an integral part of New Chapel now. And here's the cool thing. She began to flourish. Things begin to awaken in her heart. And she started a business that she had on her heart for a long time, and it's beginning to flourish. What did she do? She discovered purpose. I'm going to use my gifts and talents and what God gave me to serve this house. And you know what happens? When you get into God's business, He gets into your business. The Bible says that He will give you, grant you the desires of your heart. That's twofold. Number one, He puts them there. And number two, He wants to bring them to pass. And so what happened for her was, that desire that was dormant in many ways came to life, began to flourish in the context of church. She discovered purpose, and there's probably no story that's stronger for me than mine. I had to follow someone to church because no one ever invited me. I want to be a church where New Chapel invites people. For that reason, no one ever invited me. I followed this person and went to church. It was a Saturday night service, blew my mind. The worship was electric, and I rededicated my life to Christ. That was in June 5th, 2004. By August, I was student body president, and I had this thought, what if we did an all-nighter? See, I had a plan homecoming with a group of other people on the council, and I said, what if we were to do an all-nighter, so right after the homecoming game, we would take everybody in buses, go to the movie theater, roller skating rink, go see a movie, have fun, go to a concert, do all this kind of stuff, come back to the church early in the morning, serve them breakfast, and get them back. They would sleep during the day, and in the night, they'd be too tired to do anything crazy. And the church got behind me. I have no idea why. And so we put on things like that, and it was electric for me to see 67 people give their life to Christ that night. Two-thirds of my high school went on this event. It's completely sold out. We had to rent another bus that night. We didn't expect that type of increase. And so I saw what God could do with willing people. And all while this was happening, this mixture in my heart hid, and it was like, I got to be in ministry. My heart was so strong for the house of God. I gave up scholarships and went to Bible school. Now, let me tell you something. The church is so important to me. It's where I met my wife. She was the children's pastor's daughter, and so she would work the check-in table, kind of like we have a check-in area, and I didn't have kids, but I kept on going to that check-in table to say, hey, you know, everybody was wondering, hey, what's up with Bev? Why is he over at the children's check-in? They kept on trying to give me volunteer things. I'm already serving, you know, and so I'd go up there to see Kaya. And, oh gosh, I was like Louis Prima back in those days. If you know who that is, you don't know who that is. And so I was all dreamy-eyed, sing to her in Italian, went over the preacher's daughter. It's where I met my wife, guys. Oh, yeah. I've seen so many baptisms, I couldn't tell you, thousands? I've watched people walk the aisle back when we used to do that, fill the altars up, tears streaming. I've sat with people in the front row of my church and other places who have found God. Oh, my heart is so much for this place. I actually, in Bible school, learned more from my pastor than I did from Bible school. Truth, absolute truth. And it's because Psalm 69:9, this is my heart, and this was David's, the zeal for your house consumes me. Why, guys? Because it's not just worship, and it's not just a message, it's not just prayer or children's ministry, it's not just small groups, but what happens is when all of this comes together, and it's organized under the eldership, an ancient system of taking care of God's people, the sons and daughters of God, when all of this comes together, something amazing happens, something spiritual happens, ecclesia happens, the gathering, the assembly of God's people. Scripture says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. That was Jesus saying that. And so how much more when you have a room full of people that are worshiping God? And when we pray for people, how much more is our faith all together when it's combined, when ecclesia comes together? This thing goes from individuals that are part of a membership of the church, and all of a sudden this family element comes together. Oh, wow. That's incredible. It's more than just relationship. It's more than just singing. It's something spiritual. It's why we gather. It's why we come together. It's an ancient and old system of taking care of the sons and daughters of God. And I'm here to tell you guys, that is just a piece of the pie. One last thought. Write it down. There's something that happens within the church gathering that matters to God and has an impact on us. Jesus said in that Matthew passage, he said, I'll build my church. I'll build my ecclesia, my local organized gathering. He was not talking about the members of Christianity, those who are saved. I'm going to build my church. You know these churches? I'm going to do mine. Let me tell you something. The gates of hell will never prevail against it. It's strong because when they come together, their multiplied faith can move mountains. New Chapel, Jesus died for something, and what he said was to build his church. And so what we need to do is know, sink in deep, enjoy the benefits, make ourselves available to serve, invest our kids, our family, our time, our thought, our prayers into the house of God, because when you do, you make yourself one of those that the gates of hell will never prevail against. Man, I want to preach more. You're going to have to come back next week. Amen, somebody. Now, let me tell you something. You hear about how awesome this living organism, ecclesia, the church is. You might be sitting in here and you feel far from God. Well, let me tell you something. He's not far from you. God's closer than you could ever imagine. And this incredible church that feeds the hungry and clothes the naked and warms the heart and souls of the children of God, that teaches people how to live a successful life, that invests everything in its people, that church was for you. And this is not exclusive. Membership in a country club, that's members have rights and privileges and a partnership. We need all hands on deck. Come into this thing. Come into the church global. Come into the church local. Watch God do a miracle in your life. How do you do that? It's by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord over your life. Lord means boss. That's the common vernacular. What does that mean? You're not such a good boss over your life. But he can direct you and make you the best you. Let you live a life where you are living by design and not by default. It's found when you give your life to Christ. We're going to say a prayer in a second. I said this prayer. We're all going to say this prayer in this room. If you mean it from the bottom of your heart, the Bible says you will be saved. That means eternity in heaven, but eternal life starts today. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you today in search of a new way. You said in your word, if I would call Jesus Lord, I would be saved. Jesus, I now call you Lord. Forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean of all unrighteousness. Make me new again. Receive me into your church. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. If you said that prayer for the first time, maybe you are coming back home. You've been outside of this thing called church. And when you came in here, there was like a breath of fresh air. You remember how good it was to be close to God. And you want to re-up that commitment. I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise. I'm not going to walk you down this aisle. None of that. You're not going to stand up. But I do want you to do one thing. I want you to slip your hand in the air and put it right back down again. If you said that prayer for the first time, you're coming back home. On the count of three, one, two, three. Hands up in this place. Praise God. Just the people that raised their hand, look at me. Now listen, in a second, we're going to transition our service. The whole service is going to change.
We're going to go into a generosity portion where buckets are going to be passed through these rows. And here's what's going to happen. Christians are going to be writing down prayer requests. People are going to be putting money in to worship God. First-time visitors are going to put their cards in. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to put a card in. That connection card has a spot for your name and address. And a little box that says, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord. If you rededicated, you can put that down too. All I'm going to do is send a letter that's addressed to you. Totally private. No one will know. Would you be willing to do that for me? Thank you so much. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, I thank you for these that accepted Christ in this place. Father, I pray that you would surround them with other believers. Father, I pray that they would realize that there is a church, a gathering, an assembly that can help them figure out what they're here for. And that, Father, I thank you that you'd minister to them their calling. I thank you that you'd minister to them your freedom. And Lord, I thank you that after today, nothing will ever be the same. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, hey, give God praise in this place for those people that accepted Christ. Awesome. So cool. Listen, we're going to transition, like I said, into the generosity portion. And this is the opportunity, just like when we're worshiping God together and lifting our hands and singing songs, this portion of the service is just as much worship. Now, there's a couple ways that you can give here at New Chapel, four ways in particular. You can give on weekend services. When we pass those buckets by, that's your moment. And if you feel so compelled to put gold bars in there, your wedding ring, God bless you. But really, it's best if you do check, cash, or rate your card information on the back of that envelope. The second way that you can give is on your phone. And you can either download the Secure Give app, or if you're a very trendy person, and we're having more and more people do this. We were thinking about getting rid of text to give, but the indie millennials insisted that we would do it. So 616-965-7801 is the number. You would text the word give in the amount, and it would be withdrawn immediately. Third way that you can give is online at newchapel.com/give. People have asked, how do I set that up? How do I do any of that stuff? If you just go to newchapel.com/give, it'll tell you all that information. But if you want to manage your account, if you want to see your giving statement year to date or even years in the past, you can go to newchapel.securegive.com. Fourth way is the way Kai and I did it, which is we automated what was important to us. And because my wife, though she dyes her hair blonde, is a little airy at times, and because her husband is too, we were going to be doomed if this didn't come out. So what we did was we automated the thing that's important to us. We get paid on the 15th and 30th, and automatically it gets withdrawn on those mornings. During our time of prayer, we just honor God and worship Him privately, and thank God that we're not allowed to carry cash anymore. It's all electronic. However you do it, let me tell you something. When you do it, you are honoring God. You are worshiping God. You're buying into His system. The Bible says that those who are planted in the house of the Lord will flourish in the courts of their God. And so that is you. I encourage you, as you do it today, honor God with it. Don't just give it. Take that gift in your hand, whether it's on your phone or whether it's on a card. You can hold that. What we're going to do is pray and pass those buckets. Father, we thank you for the honor of sharing your word today. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege of worshiping you with our generosity, with our giving, worshiping you with our tithes and our offerings. Father, we thank you that you have wonderful plans for us, and it involves, number one, buying into your system. So we trust you, Lord. We buy into your economic system. Withdraw from the world's. We give this freely, with a clean heart, clean conscience, to worship you. We thank you, Lord, that you pour us out a blessing. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information, visit newchapel.com.